Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get a copy of Dr. Graham's book, The Hope of Easter. But first, here's the message, All Sufficient.
Take your Bibles now and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things in all times, you may abound in every good work. Now there's our promise. And then he adds, as it is written, he has distributed freely, has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their appeal of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission, flowing from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift, the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of what Christ has done for us, we are sufficient for all things, sufficient in all things. Now, the source of that sufficiency is clear. God is able. Our sufficiency begins and ends in Him. All of life is found in Him. Our treasures are found in Him. He is the source and resource of life itself. The scripture says, in Him we live and move and have our being. All of life, the very universe, is under the control of Almighty God, who is able. The book of Colossians says, in Him, Christ, all things consist. That means everything holds together in His hand. If Christ were to take His hand off the universe, it would spin into infinity and into oblivion. It is held together. People don't understand it. Scientists don't understand it. You go to a scientist and say, what holds everything together in the universe? And the scientist may say something like, well, everybody knows that. A grade schooler knows that. Gravity holds everything together in the universe. Oh, gravity. Okay, well, tell us then, what is gravity? Well, don't you know what gravity is? Gravity is the thing that holds all things together in the universe. No, we can't explain it. It is the power of God. We're not talking about some Mickey Mouse little power here. We're talking about the power of Almighty God. And the same hand that holds the universe together is able and available to you and to me. He's available and He is able. It says in the book of Revelation that our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the Alpha and the Omega. You know what that means? Alpha and Omega, those are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. When you think about it, everything in the English language or any language is contained in its alphabet. The multiplied millions of books, and just think about the alphabet written on the internet and all those letters, everything is comprised in that communication tool. So when Jesus says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning of the end and the end, that means He is the beginning, the end, and everything in between. All things. He is the vocabulary of God. He is the one who is forever the same. God's ability is unqualified and unlimited. The only limit of God's ability is our unbelief. That's why we are to be believers in difficult times. You may be going through some very difficult things in your life, but this is not the time to doubt or to fear. This is time to believe in a God who is able. Jesus went to a certain place. In fact, it was His hometown of Nazareth. And he could do no great miracle there, the scripture says, because of their unbelief. I wonder how some of us may be handcuffing the hands of God, because God only responds when we believe and trust in him and have faith that he will see us through, that he will bring us through. There's no problem too hard for God to solve. Do you believe that? Why? Because God is able, and God can do anything but fail. There is no prayer that God cannot answer. He doesn't always answer our prayers the way we like, but he always answers our prayers. There's no person that God cannot save. You think of the most difficult person on earth that you can't imagine them coming to Christ. That person is not too hard for God to save. He is able to save to the uttermost all who believe in him. What a mighty God we serve. God's ability is unqualified. It is unlimited. God, now listen to this, is able. Present tense. That little word encompasses yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is able. Some of you may have the idea, well, you know, God's older now. He's been around a long time, and, you know, like Grandpa at Thanksgiving, we just kind of, you know, let Grandpa do his thing. No, God is not older. He is forever young. He is eternal. And therefore, his ability is unqualified and unlimited, but his ability is also unchanging and immutable. That's a big 50-cent word, immutable, which means unchangeable, unshakable. And our lives, we are never dependent upon our own abilities. But our responsibility is simply to respond to his ability. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is his grace. This passage is full of grace. And grace not only saves, but grace strengthens and sustains. God has the power to provide you richly with every good gift. God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance. That's what verse 8 says. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. You say, well, Pastor, times are, you know, the economic times are tough. I don't have a job, or my bank account, there's not enough money at the end of the month, and my economy is down. No, we don't live on man's economy. We live on God's economy. And God owns it all and will make it available to us as we have need. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Jesus Christ. He is a loving Father who bestows good gifts upon his children. And Jesus said, what kind of father, if his son asked for a fish, would give him a serpent? No, God gives good things. Some of you need to get over the mentality that God is holding out on you. God is able, God is available, and therefore he is the source of all of our supply in life. Quit depending upon yourself. Quit depending upon what you have. Quit depending upon your education. Quit depending upon your ability, and start depending upon God, who is able. But not only the source of our supply, but this passage speaks of the sufficiency of our supply. The sufficiency of it, for it says, and God is, look back again at verse 8, that God is able to make all grace abound to you. Circle that word abound in your Bible. And you may just want to note that it means to increase or to overflow, or as quoted here, noted here, abound. It means to excel, to exceed. It means more than enough. God is able to make all grace abound to you. There is nothing average or mediocre about God's supply. It is always, always abundant. What did Jesus say? I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And who among us could not say that I have been abundantly blessed in life? Oh, I know. You may not have been as blessed as others, you think, financially or in some other way. Oh, I know you may have experienced crisis or health issues or problems with your children, and I know we all have. But when you add it all up, as James says, count it all joy. Because even in the tests and trials of life, we can look and see the abounding and the abundant grace of God. Paul had a thorn in his flesh. It was most likely a physical condition. It doesn't tell us what the thorn was, because if it was, as some thought, maybe poor eyesight or even malaria or some physical condition, if it was his deal, it wouldn't be our deal. So the Bible just leaves it open. It was a thorn. It was a stabbing pain in his life. And he prayed again and again that God would take it away. But God chose to allow the thorn to test him, to humble him, to bring him closer to himself. And that's when Paul exclaimed, I've discovered that when I'm weak, I am strong, and in his grace, it is always sufficient. All sufficient grace. Always. Just look at this passage. In our verse, there are words that speak of this abundance. Note them here. Look at verse 8. And it says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in what? All things. When? At all times. You may abound into every good work. Every good work, not just an average work.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, all sufficient. The resurrection of Christ tells us that as we trust in Him, He gives us a future and the hope of eternal life. We want to strengthen you in that hope this season with Pastor Jack Graham's book, The Hope of Easter. It's our thanks for your gift to take the gospel to more people across our hurting world through PowerPoint. For a limited time, your gift will be doubled by a $150,000 matching grant. This is the last week to have your gift doubled, so call today. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word HOPE to 59789.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Now let's get back to today's message, All Sufficient.
So you see, God has given us so much. Now every conscientious Christian at times wonders, well, how much is enough? Baker James Cawthon was a missionary. He was asked, how much should a Christian have? And he said, how much should I take to the mission field? He said, as much as you can take in your hands. I take that to mean, in life, hold your possessions loosely in your hands, but never in your heart. What God gives to us, we can hold in our hands, and I'll show you why He gives us these things in just a moment. But never our possessions to hold our hearts or to possess our hearts. Money and material possessions make wonderful servants, but terrible masters. I believe that God has given most of us just as much as He can trust us with to use for His glory. And if He finds faithful men and women who will take what they have, what God has given, and use those possessions for His glory, He'll just keep pouring it into your hands. You empty your hands, God will pour more in your hands. You empty your hands, God will give you more to your hands. But even in poverty, and the Corinthian Christians, they were not wealthy by any means, and yet they were generous beyond measure. They had enough. What they had, God placed in their hands, they gave to others. We cannot meet the needs of others if our own needs are not met. Right? We cannot give if God does not first give to us. So God has promised His supply in order to make us conduits of His blessing, channels of His blessings. And as we begin giving, God gives and gives again. As we give to God, here's what God will do for us. Number one, He'll meet all of our requirements. Do you notice down here in verse 10, He talks about He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase. He will meet our requirements. He will make available everything we need for life. God, the God of Elijah, who provided for Elijah at the brook Cherith, is still the same, as I said yesterday, today, and forever. David said, I've been young and I've been old and I've never seen the righteous forsaken. God will take care of you. He will meet your requirements. Back to Philippians 4:19, it does not say, my God shall meet all of your greeds, but all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Jesus Christ. But not only will God meet our requirements, he will multiply our resources. Notice he says he will multiply or increase your seed. This is a sure and supernatural promise. I don't know how it works other than by the hand of God, but it's true, it's true, it's true. When we are faithful to tithe the first tenth of our income to God, it goes a lot further. The nine tenths goes further with God as our partner in our finances as the 10 tenths going on with us running things. It's true. You be faithful to God, I promise you, God will be faithful to you. He describes here our giving like planting a seed. Don't see your giving of your blessings as being a contribution. Well, I contributed to the church. No, I invested in the work of Jesus Christ. It's a seed that we plant. It's an investment. And it's an investment with a powerful return. And you are never so poor as that you cannot give. Think about that widow. Jesus commended her in the New Testament. She gave what she could. A widow's mite, just less than a penny in our terms, and yet her gift was great. It's not the measure of the gift, but the sacrifice of the gift that really matters. So again, no one is so poor that they cannot give, because God will supply. Remember, God will supply all things, abundant things, abounding things, at all times and always for every good work. My wonderful friend, one of my mentors in life is George Sweeting, Doc Sweeting, former pastor of the Moody Church in Chicago and president of the Moody Bible Institute. He lives by a motto. In fact, it's the title of the biography or autobiography of his life. It's called Generous Impulse. And it's because Sweeting always says, seldom repress a generous impulse. Because generous impulses come from a God who's generous with us. Do you believe that? And yet, how many times does God prompt us to give or to serve in some way, and we suppress that generous impulse? I was thinking about a generous impulse. And how that, what that really looks like. Now, I understand that all of us must say no to some appeals. You can't give to everything and everyone. And so we know we need to pray about how we give, and I intended to talk about some of the ways you could judge how to give to a ministry organization. I don't have time this morning. But let's just, it suffice to say, we need to make the habit of saying yes a lot more than we say no. A lot of us have learned how to say no really well. But a generous believer, someone who is abounding in the grace of God, has learned how to say yes. And that can be in little things. You know, I believe Christians ought to be generous tippers at restaurants. You know, I've had waiters tell me, you know, the church crowd is the chinchiest crowd we work with. The most demanding and the chinchiest. These things ought not to be. You know, if you are an employer, your employees should have liberal salaries and bonuses too, if they're loyal workers. I understand the bonus system and reward system and all of that. But if you have loyal workers, you ought to be known, and you're an employer, you ought to be known as a generous Christian employer. We ought to be generous in our giving to missions. Christians should be the first to give, and no one should ever have to beg us. It ought to be the generous response of people who are so grateful. We ought to give to the poor and minister to those who have need. Well, one final thing, and that's very briefly the stewardship of our sufficiency. The stewardship of our sufficiency. When we give like this, Paul says that you will be enriched in every thing to all bountifulness or all abundance, which causes us through thanksgiving to God. Verse 15 concludes this passage with a great doxology, as we mentioned earlier. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Thanksgiving, gratitude, is our ultimate response to sufficiency. There's no greater mark of a Spirit-filled Christian than thanksgiving and praise to God that results in giving worship, giving good works, giving our finances, giving our money. In this passage, we are prompted to praise God in response to the ministry of grace giving. Liberal giving produces lavish praise. Selfishness produces a negative, critical spirit. It's always true in a church. The people that don't give anything are the most critical and the most demanding. The people who are the givers and the lovers, who love their church and love the opportunity to support it, they're full of praise and thanksgiving. Sometimes the only time we hear from people is when they're being critical about something. Don't like this, don't like that. And if you find something, if you're a critical person, if you're someone who's always fault-finding, finding something to complain about, why don't you be a right finder, a good finder, and be therefore full of praise to God and praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. This kind of giving, I close with this, gratifies the soul. Verse 11, we are enriched in every way to be generous in every way. Again, conduits of blessing. This kind of giving edifies the church. Verse 12, for the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, that's the church, but also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. The offering ought to be one of the most grateful times of the service. Earlier in this passage, it says in verse 7, God loves a cheerful giver. Well, I guess any old giver will do, but God loves a cheerful giver. It's the word hilarious. God loves hilarious givers. Why? Because we get to bless the church. We get to invest in the kingdom. It edifies the ministry. And this is why I give to my church. And I give to other organizations that support the work of Christ on earth. I do. But primarily, we need to support the work of our local church. And then it edifies the church, and then it magnifies the Lord. Verse 15, thanks be unto God for His inexpressible gift. You can't contain it. You can't say it enough. It is inexpressible. We don't have words or vocabulary to say how much we are thankful. It is impossible to give thanks enough. It will take all eternity to give thanks enough for the unspeakable gift and the divine giving of God. For God so loved the world that He gave. The greatest stewardship verse in the Bible is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave. And it's impossible to understand how sensitive, sincere, Spirit-filled Christians could hold back on God in light of this passage and many others like it, which tell us that if we are grateful, rather than running around being grumbly hateful, that we will walk around worshiping, being humbly grateful for all that God has given us. We have a God who is able. We have a God who has supplied our every need. We have a God who has called us to be channels of blessing to the church and to the world around us. And the true measure of our surrender of our lordship to the lordship of Jesus Christ is the measure of our dedication and our devotion in Christian service and stewardship. Make no mistake about it. What we spend, we lose. What we keep will be left for others. But what we give away remains ours forever.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and today's message, All Sufficient. This Easter time, we invite you to journey with Pastor Graham through the last week of Jesus' life on earth through his book titled, The Hope of Easter. Deepen your hope in Christ and reignite your desire to share Him with others as you meditate on the incredible events of Jesus' Passion Week. The Hope of Easter comes as a thanks for your gift to help more people experience the hope of Jesus Christ as together we proclaim His gospel all around the world. And for a limited time, your gift will be doubled by a $150,000 matching grant, so it's worth twice as much. This is the last week to have your gift doubled, so call today. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word HOPE to 59789.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
As we close out today's program, I want to go back and focus our thoughts for a moment on 2 Corinthians 9:11, which says, "You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way." I don't think there could be any argument that as Christians, we are blessed people. I mean, even the tests and trials of life, we look at these and see the abounding and abundant grace of God. So since this is the case, since we've been given such an abundant life through Christ, how can we as Christians not be a generous people in response to what He has so freely given to us? As my friend and mentor George Sweeting said, "Seldom repress a generous impulse, because generous impulses come from a God who is generous with us." So think about the past couple of days in your life. Has God given you a generous impulse that you have repressed? Now, I know that times are harder than usual right now, but even if you don't have money to give, can you be generous with your time? Think about your spouse. Perhaps a generous impulse told you to prolong that conversation longer before you went back to that book or TV program you were watching. Maybe with your kids, you were prompted to get out on the floor and play with them before asking them to clean up their room. Maybe your coworker would have appreciated more of your time before you went back to your desk. And maybe that waitress could have used the extra dollar you could have tipped her at lunch. Whatever it is, please don't repress that generous impulse. The world around us needs to know that we are blessed and that we want to be a blessing. And one of the ways they know we're blessed is by our generous impulses. So today, my PowerPoint is simple. Don't repress a generous impulse. Give freely of your time and resources because of what Christ has done for you. Sure, it may cost you something in the short term, but what did Jesus say? He said, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use it, it will be measured back to you."
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you Dr. Graham's book, The Hope of Easter, as our thanks. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word HOPE to 59789. Well, on the next PowerPoint, Dr. Graham brings a message about why you can always take God at His word. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.